1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hello, welcome to the show. We'll wrap up the weekend that was the Ohio Valley Conference, have some audio post-game from our radio show, not radio show, post-game audio from the radio broadcast of Murray State and SEMO. That's with Coach Stewart. One Murray State event yesterday, and before we do get to football, let's go ahead and get you caught up with that. Taylor Richardson, two goals to lead Murray State's soccer team past SEMO 4-1 at Cutchin Field. Taylor Stevens and Caroline Ashton also added goals. The Racers out of the starting gate at 3-0 in OVC play. It's their best OVC start since they started 4-0 in 2008. They're 7-4 overall. The Racers continue conference play on the road. They play at Belmont Friday and Jacksonville State on Sunday. So a couple of big tests coming up this weekend. Certainly do wish them the best of luck. All right, on to football. And despite rolling up over 500 yards in total offense, and I mean the Racers were pretty awesome, to be brutally honest, in terms of moving the ball, that wasn't the issue. But the football team went 2-for-5 in red zone scoring chances and losing 27-10 at Southeast Missouri Saturday night. Normally, when the Racers can run the ball, they do very well. And from a yardage standpoint, they did. Roman Clay had his best night as a Racer, 146 rushing yards and a touchdown. They had two hot receivers, including Jeremy Harness. He has his fifth straight 100-yard receiving game. He caught 12 balls for 117 yards. So, honestly, the offense certainly clicking along. The week before against Tennessee Tech, undone by four turnovers, and there were two turnovers this past week. The one interception late in the game, it was kind of late, not as big a deal, really. So right until that happened at the very end, they'd only had the one turnover, so they weren't really undone by the turnovers. Even though the one turnover did cost them points, they were going for it on fourth down on their initial drive and then fumbled it away just before getting into the end zone. So that's just kind of a new problem for the Racers. Defensively, you figure that's good enough. If you hold with the Racers' prolific offense, generally scoring at least in the neighborhood of 40 points or more, holding the team to 27 would be good enough. Now, I know what football coaches will say. They'll go, our job is to hold them to one fewer point than we get. So I get that. But, progress has been made. This is a team against FCS competition last year that gave up 43 points a game. And this year they're giving up about, I think, a little over 27 per game. Right around there. So, 31, 20, about 29 points a game, I guess, is what they're giving up. So, really, progress has certainly been made in that area. But as Coach Stewart, you'll hear him talk in our post-game audio right here, he just called it like it is, just some bad football. Of course, they know more about where players should be, what should be done up in the booth. All we see is the play result, to be brutally honest about it. They know where a guy's supposed to be, why this play didn't work, why that play did work. So let's hear it. Here's Logan Stout in his post-game interview with Coach Mitch Stewart.
I know disappointed, a little deflated. You can tell players very frustrated as they headed to that locker room there. Give us your thoughts.
We've got a lot of things to clean up and correct. A lot of bad ball played. But tomorrow's a new day. In the locker room, I told them, I said, one thing that we're going to do is we'll make all those corrections as a team. You know, there's not going to be any blame. There's not going to be any this unit should have done this and this unit should have done that. We're not going down that road. We're going to stick together. We're going to team this thing out. There's still a lot of football to be played the rest of the season. We still got a lot of good football in this football team. We just have to start showing it, and showing it on a weekly basis, and we're not doing that right now. We've got too many costly mistakes, too many dumb mistakes, until we get those things corrected, then the outcome's going to stay the same. So that's our challenge. That's the coach's challenge. That's the team's challenge is tomorrow. They've got to come in with the attitude of a little bit of humbleness and take the criticisms that they're going to get from a coaching staff's perspective and a player's perspective. And they've got to take that criticism and get better from it.
Stats aren't everything, but Roman Clay and Paul Rice both stand out on the stat sheet this week. Can you talk about their efforts?
Roman ran the ball very well. You know, Paul had a couple of really good catches. You know, the problem is we were awful in the red zone. I mean, we didn't finish a drive. We could not finish. We could not put points on the board as an offense in the red zone. And right now we can't afford to go down there and bank on threes because our field goal unit right now is not 100%. So as an offensive unit, we're just going to have to go down there and score sixes every chance that we get. And we didn't do that tonight.
Biggest thing you'll work on, I know you mentioned red zone offense. Biggest thing you'll work on this week, is it the red zone offense or other things you might key on this week as we get ready for Austin Peay?
Oh, it's a ton of stuff. It's red zone offense. It's, they had another 99-yard drive. I mean, we pinned them on the one or so again. You know, this is 2 weeks straight that we've pinned a team on the one, and they've made a 99-yard scoring drive out of it. And we've got to get better at that. There's a ton of stuff. There's some, you know, the kick at the end of the game right there where Pokey took that out. He should have took a knee there. So there's a lot of coaching points, man, a lot of film we got to watch and a lot of things we've got to get corrected moving forward.
We appreciate you taking the time. Thanks, Coach.
All right, so they'll get to work at it tonight. We'll talk about it. If you have questions for Coach Stewart, heycoachshow@gmail.com. Heycoachshow@gmail.com. That's the email address. We'll be happy to ask any questions that you may have. By the way, the player the Racers saw, Paul McRoberts, who had two touches the week before, we were afraid they may really go to him, and they certainly did. Eight passes, 169 yards, and two touchdowns. He is the OVC co-offensive player of the week. He had the 24-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter, added an 8-yarder in the third quarter. Prior to catching his second touchdown, he made a highlight reel 44-yard catch that ended up on SportsCenter's top 10 plays at number 5. It was a dandy. McRoberts averaged 21.2 per reception, en route to his sixth career 100-yard receiving game, second of the season. And he's way behind Jeremy Harness in that category, who has 5 this year. He actually is the offensive player of the week. I said co-offensive. There's co-defensive players of the week. Chris Kelly out of Cold Spring, Kentucky. He is a linebacker for them. He had 11 tackles, half a sack, and a quarterback hurry as Eastern Kentucky almost upset Kentucky. And Chad Meredith of Southeast Missouri, another player that the Rangers saw, he's their linebacker. He had a career high, matching 10 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and three quarterback hurries in the SEMO win over Murray State. Other honorees from the OVC included newcomer of the week, Tremaine McCullough. Yep, we saw him too, out of Southeast Missouri. 27 rushes, 220 yards. That's an 8.1 average. Scored a touchdown. The Racers didn't do a good job at all containing him. And the specialist of the week out of Eastern Kentucky is Stanley Absinon. He is the return man. He totaled 163 all-purpose yards, 143 of that on returns, setting up 3 of Eastern Kentucky's 4 touchdowns in that near upset of Kentucky. So you heard from the coach, and this is where we stand. They have to get better. They can't continue turning it over, and then they can't continue to have difficulty in the red zone. But that's the good news. I mean, you look at the glass half full. This is a team that's moving the ball. I mean, if they were rolling up 150, 200 yards in total offense, honestly, you'd be freaking out right now, thinking this is a really awful team and they're not going to win another game. But the fact that they've gone back-to-back games, rolling up over 500 yards of offense, I just think some tweaking, take better care of the football, get the assignments where you do score in the red zone, and things are taken care of. If that had happened the last two games, we'd be talking about a 2-0 Racer team poised to compete for the OVC championship. That's how close they are. But fumbles and denial in the red zone, here's what you have. It's 0-2. It's completely the opposite. Now, do you wave the white flag and go on to basketball season? Which, by the way, practice starts today? No, you don't. Because I still feel this team has a lot of, and Coach said that, he had a lot of good football left in them. I feel that they can really do good things if they could run the table. I know right now you're saying, right now let's talk about beating Austin Peay. Well, okay, that's realistic. But you'll win that game. Then you get, I think, a week off. Then it's Tennessee, Martin, Eastern Illinois. And it's the gauntlet. It's the better teams in the league. But if the Racers can improve, tweak what they need. Got to get that offense fixed. If the defense can continue to just hold the status quo, hold teams somewhere around the 27 to 30 point mark, the Racer offense can get to clicking in the red zone, limit the turnovers to where they're back to getting the 40 points a game. They can win every game. They really can win every game if they continue to do that. They only have to beat Jacksonville State one time. That's the day they play them. Are they better day in, day out? Probably not. They don't have to be. Don't have to beat them that day. Same for Eastern Kentucky. Only have to beat them one day. But it's the good ones. They've had trouble winning at Martin. That's going to be tough. Eastern Illinois, they've been tough lately. But that's what winning conference championships is about. If they just handed them out willy-nilly, so what? But that's not where they are. So we'll see. I think injury-wise, they came out pretty good. Here's where they stand in terms of records, and it isn't good news. Jacksonville State atop the OVC standings at 2-0. Eastern Kentucky, SEMO, and Eastern Illinois at 1-0. And you see, Eastern Illinois, despite that bad 0-3 start from a record standpoint, everything that matters for them is ahead of them. They won their game. They're good. Sitting good. Martin is 1-1. They're only lost to Jacksonville State. Tennessee Tech now 1-1, a costly home loss to Tennessee Martin. Tennessee State 0-1, Murray State and Austin Peay in the cellar at 0-2. So here is this week's, let's go ahead and give you the results from last week's games in case you missed it. Of course, the Racers losing 27-10. Eastern Illinois beat Austin Peay 40-16. Martin down Tennessee Tech 31-17. Jacksonville State outside of the league hosting Mississippi Valley State, heavy favorites, and they played like it, winning 49-7. And then we were able to catch the very end of Eastern Kentucky's near upset of Kentucky. The Cats able to come back and win it in overtime, 34-27. But it was thrilling, and another big notch in the gun of the OVC, which has been very, very steady this year. We actually get an early start to the conference week. It's a Tennessee Tech at Eastern Kentucky Thursday night game on the OVC Digital Network. There are three other conference games on tap. So everything a conference game this week. It's a huge week. It's the first week we've had four conference games in the same week. SEMO is at Eastern Illinois. That is the ESPN 3 game of the week Saturday. Tennessee State is at UT Martin. That's on the American Sports Network. That's where the last two Racer games have been. That kicks off at 2:30. And the late game of the day is at 3 o'clock. And, of course, it is Murray State homecoming. And let me tell you, folks, that will be a special homecoming day. Homecomings are always special. Yeah, I realize that. But for this one, they'll be honoring the 1995 and 1996 Racer Championship teams. They're having a reception for them on campus on Friday, and then Saturday they'll be at the M Club breakfast. They'll be in the homecoming parade. They're going to walk as a team with the championship trophies. And if you're going, man, I wish I could get up close and talk to them, you can. Go to Tent City. There's going to be a tent for the back-to-back champions, and it's pretty cool. That's at 11 a.m., so the whole team will be over there. Coach Nutt will be there. If you've wanted to see them, maybe get a selfie with them, something like that, here's your chance. That's at 11 a.m. at Tent City, and I know a lot of memories will be brought back. We'll talk more about that as the week goes on. I don't want to get too bogged down into that one because we'll have a lot about it as the week goes on. A lot that I want to talk about that, the 95 and 96 teams as well. Just seeing some of the names brings back a lot of memories. So we'll talk about that. That's an area where the Racer team from this year wants to get, and that's in a spot where they have a reunion for them that is very special. And again, at 0-2, I realize it's difficult to think about conference championships, and that may be far-fetched, but with the expanded playoffs, the Racers certainly are in the hunt, and it'll take probably running the table to do that, I admit it, but certainly in the hunt if they right the ship with the turnovers and the other issues, the red zone stalling. It'll take quite an effort, but I really believe in Coach Stewart and his coaches and believe that the Racers can get that done. All right, let's take a look at some other football for you. Kentucky, we told you about them. Louisville, they barely won. They got out to a good lead and then had to hold on and win by 7. But this was a 4-0 North Carolina State team. Louisville goes on the road and wins in their first true road game. I realize they played neutral side against Auburn, as neutral as you can be and play in Georgia, but a 20-13 victory. Lamar Jackson ran and threw for touchdowns to help the Cardinals improve to 2-3 overall, 1-1 in the ACC. Louisville's off this week. They're back in action a week from Saturday at Florida State. By the way, we talked about Kentucky and their escape. They're 4-1. They're also off this week. They return to action a week from Thursday when they host Auburn. And that's huge for where Kentucky fans want their team to go. They'll need that one. If you're going to start talking about going to a significant bowl game, you got to start winning games like that. When you bring Auburn, someone like that in on a Thursday night, got to win those. Got to win them. Brandon Doty, 409 yards, four first-half touchdowns. Western Kentucky breezed to a 49-10 victory over Rice Saturday. The 4-1 Hilltoppers host struggling Middle Tennessee this Saturday. Not that they're struggling bad, but they've lost back-to-back close ones to Illinois and Vanderbilt. By the way, missed this. The week before, Garrett Schwettman of Callaway County set the record for most extra points for a Hilltopper and all-time scorer for a Western Kentucky Hilltopper. So our congratulations to our own Callaway County Laker, Garrett Schwettman. What about that volleyball team? Murray State volleyball rolling at Eastern Kentucky 3-0. And right now, they're like a lion toying with a kitten. There's really not been a major threat so far thrown at them in OVC play. I mean, 25-14, 25-16, 25-16, those in volleyball terms, those are pretty good drubbings. That's like going in basketball and winning on the road by 20. Scotty Ingram, 11 kills. Sam Bedard, 28 assists. Finally, you may have to get a roadmap to the Racer volleyball team to find Racer Arena for the home game. It's their first one of the season. 14 matches on the road. They're 13-1. They're only lost to a top 10 Washington team. And you get a chance to see them in person, finally, at Racer Arena. It's the home opener against Austin Peay Wednesday at 7. Nothing like beating down the Peay, and maybe you'll get a chance to see them do that Wednesday. High school football, things didn't turn out well for Murray High. You take a look at the box score, more yardage overall, ran for more, but more turnovers. It's been an issue at times for the Murray High Tigers. It was an issue on Friday night. Probably cost them the game as they lose to Mayfield 17-7. The Tigers are 4-3. They'll have an extra week to heal. They are off this Friday, no game. They'll return to action October 16th for a senior night game against Webster County. Speaking of Webster County, that's who Callaway County plays this week. And what about the Lakers? Remember the slow start to the season in the win column? Distant memory now. A 47-12 win over Hopkins County Central sends the Lakers to 3-3. One local team in action in soccer tonight, that is Murray High's girls. They are hosting Madisonville North Hopkins this evening. Alan Lawler's rifle team, congratulations. Fifth-ranked Murray State rifle team shooting at 46-76 for the second consecutive week to take second place at the Ole Miss Invitational in Oxford. Third-ranked TCU won the event. Ben Estes led Murray State with an aggregate score of 11-74. Again, as I've told you, I don't know what that means, but it's obviously very good. Murray State now takes a couple of weeks off. They're back in action October 17th when they host fourth-ranked Kentucky in Murray. The Cardinals, could you go out with more of a whimper? I don't think so. Shut out three straight games. The last time that happened back in 1976, Eric Shawn, who is he's a Cubs fan. I like Eric anyway, despite that. But he keeps up with the Cardinals as well. First time they've been swept at home. I'm sorry, first time they've been swept in a three-game set, and they're all shutouts since 1976 when they, I think that was the Pirates that did it to them. And they also lost a doubleheader on that last couple of games. So not really good, but if you take a look at the lineups, look closely, a lot of the regulars didn't play much. Nevertheless, I mean, that isn't really a great way to stumble into the series, but it's happened before. Honestly, when things start Friday, it will be starting fresh. And all attention now will turn to who the Cardinals will play Friday. Cubs and Pirates, they will duel it out with Jake Arrieta. How can the Pirates beat Arrieta? My best bet, match him with zeros and hope to win it in extra innings, at least the way he's been pitching lately. It should be a terrific game. That was the Wednesday game, Pirates-Cubs in Pittsburgh, and the winner goes to St. Louis. You're wondering game times? Don't know. We were hoping to find out sometime by noon today, and is that at the time I'm taping this, I don't know what they are. As soon as we know them, check out our website, 1340WNBS.com, and we will have the at least the air times on there. You can add 50 minutes to that, and that's when actually 55, and that's when the first pitch happens to be. So still waiting on those. Hope to get them sometime later today. But, man, kind of an ugly way to head into postseason play. But how can you say that? You're saying they won their third straight National League Central title and they won 100 games. Okay, so we'll look at the good side, and I guess that's a good way to head into the postseason. And home field advantage throughout the playoffs, if they make it to the World Series, of course, the American League gets that. Titans off yesterday, but the Rams, not only did they played well. They beat the Arizona Cardinals 24-22 to improve the 2-2. That's the Cardinals' first loss of the season. Coming up tonight, we have our Monday night football game, Detroit at Seattle, 7:30 kickoff, 6:45 the airtime on 1340 WNBS. And with a new head coach and minus four starters from last season, the Murray State men's basketball team begins practice today at 3. Jeffrey Moss, the lone returning starter for new head coach Matt McMahon, a four-year assistant under Steve Prohm. McMahon adds five new players and transfers DeMarcus Croker and G. McGee to a roster that includes returnees Justin Seymour, Wayne Langston, Kedrick Flomo, and Taryn Gilmore. The Rangers officially begin the season on November 13th with a home game against Harris Stowe, but before that, we'll welcome Freed Hardeman for a November 5th exhibition at the CFSB Center. All right, that has it all wrapped up. Thank you so much. Tuesday, Josh Plain also be with me. We'll go over a lot of interesting storylines in college football, talk a little NFL as well, and that's on the Tuesday edition of the Neil Bradley Show. You can subscribe free on iTunes or check us out at 1340WNBS.com.